أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار. نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم.
Dear brothers and sisters, today inshallah we're going to talk about some sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's going to be a new program inshallah. I hope it's going to be interesting and we can shed some light also on the great sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can call it In the Shadow of Prophet Muhammad. We're going to start by the first hadith, and the first hadith is going to be about intentions. So let's start with it. It's narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wa arda, may God be pleased with him. Now Umar ibn al-Khattab said that he heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the reward of deeds depends upon the intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. So whoever emigrated for worldly benefits or for a woman to marry, his emigration was for what he emigrated for. Now let's look at this one more time in details. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the rewards of deeds are based upon intentions. The rewards of deeds are based upon intentions. So everybody is going to be rewarded according to his intention. So whosoever emigrates for God and his messenger, so he emigrated for God and his messenger. And whosoever emigrated for a worldly benefit or for a woman to marry, so he emigrated for what he emigrated for. Now this is a very great hadith. Why? First of all, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks here about intentions. And intentions are in hearts. And a heart is very important when it comes to religion. Because every deed is based on your intention. I mean, the reward of every deed is based on your intention. Now, let's just start with the first part of the hadith. First of all, the narrator is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab is the narrator of this hadith. And Umar ibn al-Khattab is one of the greatest companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became the second caliph after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived a very nice life, a very respectful life, fighting for Islam, defending Islam, defending the religion of God, and he also died as a martyr while he was praying. So that was a very great man, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he is the narrator of this hadith. He said that he heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the rewards of deeds are based on intentions. The rewards of deeds are based on intention. So everybody is going to be rewarded according to his intention. The rewards of deeds are based on intentions. Why? Because it depends on how you feel deep down inside your heart. Okay? Now for example, if two persons went to the masjid, okay, in order to pray, and one of them went to the masjid in order to please God. He wants to pray to please God so that God becomes happy with him. Now this is a very great intention. So this man will get a reward from God. But another person got into the masjid, got into the mosque for one reason. Okay, he wants to do that so that people say that he's a very righteous person. He prays, okay, and he's a very good man. Now, what kind of reward will this man get? Nothing. Why? Because he's doing this not for God. He's doing that for people. So if he wants to ask for a reward, do not ask God for that, because you have nothing with God here. Okay? You're going to get your reward from people, not from God. Okay, so forget about God in this case. So, intentions, okay, intentions govern what you do. If you do it for God, so it's for God. If you do it for people, so it's for people. Do not ask God to give you anything. So, one more time the hadith. The rewards of deeds are based on intentions. So everybody is going to be rewarded according to his intention. Now that's amazing. And this is why God said in the Holy Quran, in one of the very great verses, God said in the Holy Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. Those who desire the life of the present and its glitter. نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. To them we shall pay the price of the deeds, the rent, without diminution. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. They are those for whom there is nothing in the hereafter but the fire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Vain are the designs they framed the ring, and of no effect the deeds that they do. Now one more time. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. Those who desire the life of the present and its glitter, to them we shall pay the price of the deeds therein without diminution. Okay? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. They are those for whom there is nothing in the hereafter but the fire. Vain are the designs they frame therein, and of no effect the deeds that they do. So if your heart is only for this life, okay, you get nothing. If your heart is only for this life, you get nothing. Those who desire the life of the present, this is what they think about. They only think about this life, the life of the prison. They don't think about the hereafter. Okay, it's not in their minds at all. They don't think about it. Okay, now they have a problem. A serious problem. Those who desire the life of the prison as glitter, to them we shall pay the price of the deeds therein without diminution. Okay, so God is going to give them whatever they want in this life. Okay, you want money, get money. You want fame, get fame. You want treasures, get treasures. It's no problem for God. All these things are nothing in the eyes of God. Okay, you're going to get that. But in the hereafter, do not ask for the pleasure that God prepared for those who are righteous. Because you are not. Because in this life, we need to think about the hereafter. We need to think about what God prepared for the righteous. We need to follow God's orders if we want to get something in the hereafter. Okay? Our hearts, okay, should be in the hereafter, not in this present life. Okay, so what does that mean? Does it mean that we should neglect life totally and do not get out of its pleasures? No. You live your life, you work hard, you get money, you get pleasures out of this life, but according to the law of God, in order to be a righteous person. And while doing this, you should not forget that the hereafter is more important and better many times than this life that you're living right now. You need to know that very well. That the coming life is better and it's the true life. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say that the true life is the life of the hereafter, not this life that we are living. Because it's very short and it runs so fast. Okay? And this is why when you start thinking about your past, you feel that it was like yesterday. You feel like you were at secondary school yesterday. You were a child yesterday. Okay, so his life is so fast. It goes quickly. It is like a man who was walking in a desert and then he found a tree. So he sits under this tree in order to get some shade. Only for a moment or 2 minutes. And then he left his place. This is life. It's very short. It is very short. Okay, and the problem is that in this trip, during this life, you don't know exactly when you are going to travel. Okay? So imagine that you're going to travel somewhere. Okay? And this traveling depends only on a phone call. So you get this phone call and you have to travel immediately. What does that mean? It means that you need to pack your luggage. Your luggage should be ready. Because you don't know when you're going to travel. This is exactly the way we live on this earth. We don't know exactly when we're going to leave. So our luggage should be packed. We should be ready all the time. Because it is just like that. 1 minute you're not here. So you need to be ready to meet God. So those people who live their life thinking only about the pleasures of this life, they should not ask God for anything in the hereafter. They should not expect anything in the hereafter. Okay. And that leads us also to another important verse in the Holy Quran. God said in the Holy Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. If any do wish for the transitory things of this life, we readily grant them such things as we will, to such person as we will. In the end, have we provided hell for them? They will burn therein, disgraced and rejected. Now look at this. Well, this verse is very important. If any do wish for the transitory things of this life. Transitory. Things in this life are transitory. Okay? Pleasure that you are given in this life are for a short time. They're not going to remain forever. The pleasures of the hereafter are forever. Because no death there. Okay, so if somebody is going to be a loser and is going to be thrown into hell, it's forever. Okay, he's not going to leave it. And if somebody is going to obey God and God loves him and is going to go to paradise, also is forever. Okay, so it's going to continue for, but in this life, it's for a short time. It doesn't go forever in this life. So this is why God said in the Holy Quran, if any do wish for the transitory things of this life, we readily grant them. It's going to be given what he wanted. It's going to be granted what you want. It's not a problem, eh? Okay? Because as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this life means nothing to God. And if it means nothing to God, God would have never given a disbeliever a drop of water. But even disbelievers, they get what they want in this life. God is so merciful and this life is nothing in the eyes of God. Now look at the completion of the verse. We readily grant them such things as we will. What does that mean? As we will. And somebody may ask himself, we. It is used to refer to God. But why God is using we? Why didn't God use I? Now, we in Arabic, and Arabic is a Semitic tongue, a Semitic language, and we as a pronoun, it is used to give more respect to God Almighty. Okay? So when we is used, it doesn't mean two gods or three gods or four gods. It's just one God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? But we is used to give more respect to God. But look at what God said. It is as if God saying in this verse, if you want this life, you're going to get it. But you're going to get what I will, not what you will. You're going to get what God wants you to get, not what you want. Which means that you may fight in this life, you may forget about God totally, you may forget about religion, you may forget about poor people, you may forget about doing good things, okay, in this life in order to get more money, to get more pleasures, to get more treasures, okay? But believe me, you will not get nothing more than what God wants you to get. So you will get exactly what God wants you to get. You will not get more. Okay? So it's better if you think the way God loves. If you follow the way that God loves. Okay? Because you're not going to get more than what God is going to give you. Now look at the verse. If any do wish for the transitory things of this life, the temporary pleasures in this life, we readily grant them such things as we will, to such person as we will. Now this is very important. To such person as we will. What does it mean? It means that some people are going to exert a lot of effort and they're going to anger God and they're going to refuse God's orders in order to get money, to get fame, to get whatever they like in this life, whatever they want. But they're not going to get anything. Because God is the one who decides who gets and who doesn't. It is not you. So you may disobey God and do every bad things, okay, you can imagine in order to get the pleasure of this life, and you may not get it. So this way you lost life and you lost the hereafter. And this is the great lost man. This is the great lost mate. Okay? You will never be a bigger loser. To lose this life and to lose the hereafter. Oh, terrible. Now look at this. And the verse goes on. In the end. Well, why in the end? This is the most important thing. In the end. Have we provided hell for them? They will burn during disgrace and rejected. Why? You rejected God in this life. What do you think God is going to do to you in the hereafter? God is going to reject you. He's going to kick you out. Why? Because this is what you did in this life. You refused God, you refused God's orders, and you live the way you want, not the way God wants. Now, look at this hadith. It's very interesting. And also it talks about intentions. Intentions. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a man spends on his family with the intention of having a reward from Allah, sincerely for Allah's sake, then it is a kind of alms given in reward for him. Well, this is a very interesting hadith. If a man spends on his family, well, this is what every man should do. Every man should be responsible for his own family. He should spend on his family. He should feed his wife and feed his kids. This is what every man should do. If a man spends on his family, okay, so this is a duty. But if you do this duty with the intention of pleasing God, though it is a duty, you're going to get a reward. Just because you did it to please God. So it is just your intention. Just your intention. Like, for example, naturally, every man should be nice to his parents. This is nature. Naturally, everyone should be nice to his parents. Even if his parents are not nice to him, he should be nice to them. And this is also God's orders. This is also God's order. Because God ordered us to be nice to our parents and to treat them kindly and nicely. But if you did it in order to please God, you get a bigger reward. Why? Because you're doing it for the sake of God. So subhanAllah, even in things that you must do, because they are your responsibilities, okay? You get reward if you do them only for pleasing God. For example, a policeman. A policeman is supposed to protect the society and to take care of the society members. And he's supposed to arrest criminals. Okay, amazing. So this is his job. This is what he should do. But if he does this job with the intention of pleasing God, he gets a bigger reward. So how great is this religion? God gives you more for what is in your heart. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Now, another also hadith that you may find very interesting, it was also about intention. Allah's Prophet said, the reward of the prayer offered by a person in congregation is 25 times greater than that of the prayer offered in one's house or in the market alone. Which means that when you go to the masjid, when you go to the mosque to pray in a congregation, you get a bigger reward than staying at home or praying in the market, in your shop. Now, and this is because if he performs ablution and does it perfectly and then proceeds to the masjid, to the mosque, with the sole intention of praying, and let's underline this very important part, with the sole intention of praying, that he goes to the masjid not to show off, not because he wants people to say, oh, look at him, he's very righteous, he prays all the time. No, no, no. You do it with only one intention, okay? To please God, with the sole intention of praying. Then for every step he takes towards the masjid, he is upgraded 1 degree in reward, and his one sin is taken off from his accounts of deeds. Wow! He's given a reward, and a sin is taken off him. Oh, that's amazing. For every step he takes. Now, when he offers his prayer, the angels keep on asking Allah's blessing and Allah's forgiveness for him, as long as he is staying at his musalla, and musalla means praying area. And one is regarded in prayer as long as one is waiting for the prayer. Now, this is a very great hadith and big reward for people who pray in congregation, but under one condition. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with the sole intention of praying. The sole intention of praying, which means that somebody wanted to pray at home, but he knew that somebody is going to be in the masjid, and this person is going to pay him money, so he decided to go to the masjid. He decided to go to the mosque. Now, what was the sole intention here? Was it praying in the masjid, okay, in order to get rewards, in order to get thawab? No! The intention was getting money from somebody. But you do not expect that you're going to get like a very big reward for that. Intention. What is in your heart is very, very, very important. Okay. And this hadith also is very important and very amazing also. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an army will invade the Kaaba. And the Kaaba is the sacred house of God, built by Abraham sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the blessings of God be upon him and upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given a prophecy here. And this prophecy says, an army will invade the Kaaba. And when the invaders reach Al-Ba'idah, all the ground will sink and swallow the whole army. I said, O Allah the Apostle, and this is Aisha asking, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah's Prophet, how will they sink into the ground, while amongst them will be the markets, the people who worked in business and not invaders. They didn't come for a fight. And the people not belonging to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of those people will sink, but they will be resurrected and judged according to their intentions. This is a very great hadith and a very great prophecy. That the house of God, the Kaaba in Mecca, Saudi Arabia now, is going to be invaded. And those invaders are going to be destroyed by God, and they were going to get out with a very great army in order to destroy the house of God. Now God is going to punish them, and God is going to destroy them. But Aisha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a little bit astonished here. She wants to know, how will they be destroyed? All of them, because she knows that God is just. God does not injure anybody. So she says, how, Prophet Muhammad? How could they be destroyed, all of them, while there will be markets, people just selling and buying, and they don't want to invade anything. And some people who are not belonging to, or do not belong to them, or maybe they are forced. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they're going to be destroyed, but on the Day of Judgment, everybody is going to be treated according to his intention. Intention, people. Intentions. What's in your heart? So it is not very important that you give money to the poor. The most important thing is, why are you doing this? Are you doing this so that people say, oh, look at him, he's very kind and very amazing, he's a very nice person? Or are you doing it because of God, and just for God, only to please God? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? This is what you should think about. This is what you should think about. Amazing. Now let's move to another part here. God says in the Holy Quran, and that's also about intentions. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. And verily, thy Lord knows all that the hearts do hide, as well as all that they reveal. This is why intentions are important. This is why intentions are important. Because God knows exactly what's in your heart. And this is what God cares about. What's inside here. And let me give you an example. Abu Darda. And Abu Darda is one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those people were taught by the best man who has ever walked this earth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to sleep on the floor while he could have become the richest man in the world if he had wanted. But he didn't want that. And this is why when Umar ibn al-Khattab came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and found him sleeping on the floor, he said, "Oh Prophet, how could you sleep on the floor? While Caesar and the Persian king sleep in palaces and they have all these pleasures. You are the Prophet of God and you sleep on the floor?" So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Umar, they are satisfied with this life, but we're happy with the coming life. We are satisfied with the coming life, yes, because the coming life is the true one." So those people were taught by a great teacher, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why when you look into the biographies of his companions, you find it the greatest. And look at this, Abu Darda. Umar ibn Khattab went to Abu Darda, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knocked on his door. And Umar ibn Khattab at that time was a caliph, the caliph of Muslim, and caliph means the governor, the king, if you could say that. So he was the prince of believers, the caliph, and that was after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to Abu Darda, he knocked on the door, so the door was open, which means that Abu Darda didn't shut the door. And that gives you a hint. Those people didn't used to care about this life so much. They didn't have, you know, like much money in the houses. And this is why he didn't shut the door. But can we do it? No. When we leave our houses, when we leave our flats, we shut the doors. Because we have things that we don't want to be stolen. We don't want our stuff to be stolen, so we shut the doors. But he didn't. Because he didn't have anything. Why? Because he was poor? No. They were rich. But they used to give everything they have for poor people. They wanted to please God. They wanted to meet God as poor persons, not as rich persons. SubhanAllah. And this is why when Umar knocked on the door, it was open. And when it was open, Umar was astonished. And he got into the house. And he said, "Salamu alaykum," which means peace be on you. So Abu Darda knew Umar ibn al-Khattab from his voice. So he welcomed Umar. And he asked him to sit beside him. So when Umar sit beside Abu Darda, and it was darkness, Umar started moving his hand to see on what Abu Darda sleeps. So he discovered that the bed of Abu Darda was made of stones. He slept on stones. And he tried to touch his pillow. And he found it made of hay, nothing. And he tried to just to touch his galabeer, to touch his clothes, to see what he's wearing. So he saw that the cloth was very light and was very cold. He couldn't be warm like that. So he looked up to Abu Darda and he said, "Didn't I do good things to you?" Like, Umar was worried because he was the caliph, he's responsible for all those people. So he was worried about himself. I mean, is Abu Darda a poor man and I don't know? because he knows that he's supposed to be very good. So he said, didn't I do good things to you? So Abu Darda looked at Umar and he said, oh Umar, do you remember one of the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Umar said, and what is it? So Abu Darda said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take of this life as a traveler takes for his journey. Takes of this life as a traveler takes for his journey. And what does a traveler take for his journey? Does he take the bedroom along with him? Does he take the furniture? Does he take all his money? No. He takes what makes him alive. He takes the most necessary stuff with him. He doesn't take everything. Or he will be crazy moving with everything whenever he travels to a country. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach them that don't take of this life anything unless it is very necessary. So Umar ibn Khattab, when he heard this saying, he said, yes, I remember. So Abu Darda said, and what did we do after that, Umar? What did we do after that, Umar? So he kept repeating that until Umar started crying and weeping. And he started weeping until the dawn comes. And the dawn begins. So they were blaming themselves and they were very righteous and they were very nice. What if they saw what we're having these days and what people are doing? Those kind people. But why? Why did Abu Darda live this life? Why did Abu Darda live this life? He lived this life because he wanted the hereafter. He didn't want this. He didn't want it. He didn't want this life. He wanted the hereafter. He wanted God's life. He wanted God's life. So, another ayah, another verse which is important. And it's about the description of hypocrites in the Quran. God says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Of the people, there are some who say, we believe in Allah and the last day, but they do not really believe. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ Feign, or they deceive Allah and those who believe, but they only deceive themselves and realize it not. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ In the hearts is a disease, and Allah has increased their disease. And grievous is the penalty they incur because they are fools to themselves. So God here is giving you a part of description of the hypocrites. They claim that they are believers, but they're not. And God is making fun of them. Why are you trying to deceive here? Are you trying to deceive God? Because it's impossible to deceive God. You're just deceiving yourselves. And God is going to increase your disbelief. God is not going to guide you so that you die misguided because of what you used to do in this life. And this is why we say that intentions are very important. Because if God does not care about hearts, so hypocrites will be believers. Right? Hypocrites will be believers. Why? Because they speak very well. They look very well in front of people. But basically, are they good? Truly, are they good? No, they're actors and actresses. They just try to show off. But they're not true believers, and this is why they have no reward. So intentions, it is not what you do. It is not what you do. It is what you intend. That is very important. Okay? Now, so, we move to another part here. And another hadith. And the hadith goes as follows. Narrated by Tarif Abi Tamima. I saw Safwan and Jundub and Safwan's companions when Jundub was advising. They said, "Did you hear something from Allah's Prophet?" Jundub said, "I heard him saying, whoever does a good deed in order to show off, Allah will expose his intentions on the day of resurrection before the people. And whoever puts the people into difficulties, Allah will put him into difficulties on the day of resurrection." The people said to Jundub, "Advise us." He said, "The first sin of the human body to purify is the abdomen. So he who can eat nothing but good food, halal and earned lawfully, should do so. And he who does as much as he can, that nothing intervene between him and paradise by not shedding even a handful of blood, should do so." This is a very amazing hadith. Now let's take a part of it. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, whoever does a good deed in order to show off, Allah will expose his intentions on the day of resurrection. Yes? Do not think that Allah is unaware of what you do. If you are doing something just for, just so that people say that, yeah, he's a very good mate, he's a very nice person, okay, do not think that Allah is unaware of this. Allah is going to scandalize you. Allah is going to expose your intentions. But Allah is going to do that on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, when all people from all ages are going to be resurrected and they're going to be standing in front of God. You're going to be brought in front of God and God is going to expose all what you did in your life. And that will be a very true scandal. So subhanAllah, intentions. And this is why also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, God does not look at your faces, but he rather looks at your hearts. God does not look at your faces, but he rather looks at your hearts. God doesn't care if you're black, if you're white, if you're tall, if you're short, if you're heavyweight, if you're thin. God doesn't matter. It's not important. What is important is your heart. God doesn't care how you look. It is how you feel inside here. Your heart should be in the right place. Okay, so we'll take a minute and we'll come back inshallah. So as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, God does not look at your faces, but rather looks at your hearts. And this is why we say that there is no racism in Islam. No racial discrimination. Because there is no difference between a black Muslim and a white Muslim, a Pakistani Muslim, an Egyptian Muslim, a Saudi Muslim, an American Muslim, a British Muslim and a non-British Muslim, whatever. It doesn't matter. It is your heart. It is your heart. And this is why also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is no difference between an Arabian and non-Arabian. Okay? Except for righteousness. If someone is more righteous, is going to be better in the eyes of God. So if a people from Pakistan is more righteous than someone from Egypt, it's going to be better in the eyes of God. And if the Egyptian is more righteous than this Pakistani, it's going to be better in the eyes of God. This is the balance here. Not skin, not color, not tongue, not language, nothing. And this is why we say that Islam has no racism and no racial discrimination. So, intentions, hearts. Another example. And this example is about one of the grandsons of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his name is Ali ibn al-Husayn. Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn al-Husayn, and ibn means son. So Ali, the son of al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now, this is al-Husayn is the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his daughter Fatima. May God be pleased with that. And Ali ibn al-Husayn is the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandson. And he was a very rich person. God provided him with a lot of money. And he was a very successful person. And at the same time, was very righteous. But those people understood very well the reality of this life. And so they wanted to do everything in this life only for the sake of God, so that they get the reward in the hereafter. And this is why this man, Ali ibn Husayn, he used to feed 70 families in Medina. This man used to spend money on 70 poor families in Medina. And these families lived for a long time not knowing that Ali ibn Husayn is the one who gives them food. So they lived for a very long time not knowing who is the benefactor who is giving them money. They didn't know. And he didn't tell anybody. And that was amazing, because Ali ibn Husayn was a very rich person and he had many servants. He could have sent anybody with the food to these 70 poor families, but he didn't. He used to carry the food in bags on his back to every poor family house. He used to carry the food by himself to every poor family. Why didn't he send a servant? He doesn't want. He didn't want anybody to know that he's doing this. Why? Is he doing something wrong? No! But he wanted only the reward to be from God. He didn't want people to talk about him saying, look at him, he's a very great person. He's feeding the poor. No, he didn't want that. He just wanted one person to know. He wanted only God to know that. He wanted God only to witness this. And this is why people didn't know that he was feeding all these families until the day of his death. When he died, and people wake up in the morning and they didn't find the food given to them, they asked, who died in Medina today? Started asking who died in Medina, and they were told that Ali ibn Husayn died today. So they knew that he is the one who used to feed them. Only the day he died. Only on the day he died. I mean, this is sincerity with God. This is sincerity with God. Why are you doing it? So that people see you, or so that God sees you. This is what you should think about. Now, so, and this is why we say that in Islam, faith, so when we define faith, this is what we say. We say, faith is saying with your tongue, to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say, there is no God, there is no object worthy of worship but Allah, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of Jesus, the God of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no object worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. To say it with your tongue, first of all. But is it enough? Is it enough to say only with your tongue? No, it's not enough. Why? Because even hypocrites can say it. But it doesn't make them believers. It's not only the tongue to say it with your tongue and to believe it deep down here in your heart. To believe it in your heart. Okay? And to do actions that go side by side with your shahada. Deeds. So saying with your tongue, believing in your heart, and actions, deeds that make us believe that you're a Muslim. You are someone, and Muslim means someone who submits his face to God. Someone who submits himself to God. Three things. To say with your tongue, believe in your heart, and your actions. And this is why we say that Muslims at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't used to have IDs. So if you wanted to know that this mate is a Muslim, you don't ask him for his ID. No. You look at him, you see how he looks, how he acts, if he prays or not. Okay? This is what shows you if he's a Muslim or not. Now, so let's move to this. Now, worship also should be based on pure intention, for God says, of course. Worship should be based on pure intentions. Should be based on pure intentions. As we said, when you fast, why do you fast? So that people say that you're fasting? No. You don't fast for that. You fast for God. Okay? Because God says, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Look at this verse. Very important. فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Call you then upon Allah with sincere devotion to Him, even though the unbelievers may detect it. Now look at this. Call you then upon Allah with sincere devotion. Sincere devotions. Your intentions should be pure. Your intentions should be clean. So that God accepts your prayer and accepts your deeds and accepts your worship. And this is why we say that if we want to worship God, we should have three intentions. One, the intention of worship. And I'm going to the masjid to worship Allah, not to meet someone who is going to pay me money, not to see someone who is very important, I need to get closer to him. No, the intention of worship, number one. And number two, the intention that this worship is for God, not for Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is not God, he's a prophet of God. So this worship is for God. It's not for Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she's not God. The worship is only for God. So the intention of worship, the intention that this worship is for God, and number three, the intention that this worship is done out of submission for God. I submit myself to God. God ordered me to worship Him, so here I am. Oh God, I'm fulfilling what You want. So the intention of worship, the intention that this worship is for God, and number three, the intention that this worship is done out of submission for God. I submit myself. I'm a Muslim. I surrender to your God. Now, and look at this. God say in the Holy Quran, the day that all things secret will be tested. The day that all things secret will be tested. يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. Well, that's a tough day. That's a tough day, the day of judgment, when all secrets will be tested. Whatever secrets you have in your heart, God is going to test it. God is going to ask you about. So, put your heart in the right place. And know very well that God is there. And God is watching. And He knows exactly what's in your heart. So know that very well. And that leads you to obeying God and pleasing God. Now look at this. And an example here that is very important. Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr is the first man who believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the best person after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the prophets. So the best person, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, okay, is Abu Bakr after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophets. But why Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr is the first caliph after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. This man, at the very beginning of Islam, when Muslims were persecuted, killed, driven out of their homes, losing everything by the pagans at Mecca, Abu Bakr used to go to the Muslim slaves who were owned by pagans and disbelievers, and Prophet and Abu Bakr used to free them. He used to buy them. He used to pay money and buy those slaves and then free them just for the sake of God. And he used to do that with old men and women, people who are weak. So his father went to him and said, Abu Bakr, why do you free old men and women? Why do you free old men and women? Why don't you free strong men? Why don't you save strong men who can protect you later? Now look at this reasoning. Look at Abu Bakr's father. This is how he fought. Abu Bakr used to free weak slaves who used to be old men and women. So I said, why don't you free strong men who can protect you later? So Abu Bakr said, oh my father, I wait for the reward from God. I wait for the reward from God. I don't want a reward in the hereafter. I don't want a reward here in this life. I want it in the hereafter. I don't want a reward now. I don't want strong people to protect me in this life. I want God's protection in the hereafter. This is why when I free people, I free the weakest. And I free the oldest. Why? Because I don't want anything from them. I don't want them to pay me back. Because God is there. He's going to pay me back on the day of resurrection. That's a man with a real intention, with a sincere intention in him. So intentions. Those people were taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why these are the actions. This is why they used to act like that. Greatness. And this is why God revealed in this situation. When Abu Bakr sat down and gave this answer, this is why God revealed that. And God said in the Holy Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. So he who gives in charity and fears Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and in all sincerity testifies to the best, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will indeed make smooth for him the path to bliss. What amazing verses. These verses were revealed about Abu Bakr for this situation, this great situation. So look, so he who gives in charity and fears Allah, gives in charity. He spends his money helping persecuted Muslims and he's not afraid of the disbelievers. He's not afraid of the disbelievers. He's just afraid of God. He fears God. He doesn't fear pagans. He doesn't fear the enemies of Islam. He doesn't fear the persecutors of Islam. He doesn't fear those who support the poisonous propaganda against Islam. He doesn't fear those people. He just fears God. And he helps Muslims. So subhanAllah, these verses were revealed about Abu Bakr. And these also are the verses for the same situation. God said, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. But those most devoted to Allah shall be removed far from it, far from hell. Those most devoted to Allah will be saved from hell. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Those who spend the wealth for increase in self-purification. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And have in their minds no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected in return. They don't wait for a price to be paid. They don't wait for that. They need a price from God, not from humans. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. But only the desire to seek for the countenance of the Lord Most High. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And soon will they attain complete satisfaction. Wow. That's real thing here. Look at these great verses. Listen to that again. Those who spend the wealth for increase in self-purification. Self-purification. They purify themselves by spending, giving to the poor with pure intentions, and having their minds no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected in return. They don't wait for thanks. They don't wait even for thank you. They don't want anything. They just want God to be happy with them. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهَ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. But only the desire to seek for the countenance of the Lord Most High. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and soon will they attain complete satisfaction. God will make them fully satisfied. What a glad tidings. Amazing. Great. Why? Because they had pure intentions. They had pure intention. They wanted only to please God. So, I wish we have a very good intentions. Very good intentions that they used to have. And I ask God to purify our intentions and make all our deeds only for His countenance, and to make us able to please Him. And I ask God from the bottom of my heart to make me able and to make you able also to please Him, and to provide you with doing good things before the hour comes, okay, before we come to death. So may Allah bless you, and I hope inshallah we continue talking about this hadith, because we're not over inshallah. Today was the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the rewards of these are based on intention. So everybody is going to be rewarded according to his intentions. So I say this, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, peace be upon you.